read and hear more about important news, events, and public policy debates at ncnewsline.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. By just about any key measure, the U.S. economy is in remarkably good shape. Jobs are plentiful, wages are up, inflation is leveled off, and by all indications, we've avoided the recession that some analysts had feared was looming. That said, things are far from perfect. High prices for essentials like housing and food continue to have big and negative impacts on many households, and surveys show that average American consumers remain concerned and less confident about the future than might be expected. So what's going on here, and what are the reasons for optimism and concern, and what are policymakers trying to do to address the situation? Earlier this week, I sat down with State's Newsroom National Economy reporter Casey Quinlan to find out. Well, Casey Quinlan, welcome back to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
I want to talk about your recent report that documents a rather striking phenomenon that's at work in the U.S. economy right now, this disconnect between how things are, at least in most cases, and what people think and feel. Really, by historic standards, the economy's in pretty good shape right now. Is that a fair assessment?
By many economic indicators, the economy is doing pretty well. The job market remains stable and healthy. You know, you've got a 4% unemployment, well, below 4% unemployment rate for about 2 years now. And that's actually pretty good. But you also have, you know, a lot of long-term concerns that people have been dealing with since before the pandemic that are still hitting them fairly hard. You know, consumer spending still, you know, pretty strong. You've got basically the GDP is doing pretty well, better than expected. It was, you know, recently, you know, revised up from its previous estimate. Still a lot of enthusiasm for consumer spending. So, you know, there are a lot of good things going on in the economy right now by the measure of economic indicators, but people are still struggling in a lot of ways with the high prices at the grocery store, with high rent prices, with high home prices. And they're still concerned in the medium term about their finances. So they're less concerned about a recession, but they're, you know, still concerned about their short-term financial plans.
I know when you talk about the unemployment and the job market, we just did a story here in North Carolina about the fact that we literally can't find workers to keep in our state government agencies. We've got 25, 30, 40, 50% vacancy rates in some state agencies. Part of it, a lot of it attributable to the fact that our state government doesn't pay very well, but there's just jobs for people in the private economy. So that would seem to indicate that sort of validates your conclusion that the job market remains pretty strong. I gather that's probably the case in most states across the country.
The economy is adding a lot of, you know, healthcare jobs, government jobs. The other issue, of course, is what kind of jobs are being added. And there has been, you know, some criticism from economists, some idea that perhaps some of those jobs are not, you know, all high quality jobs, you know, and so we should be also be looking at just, you know, what are the wages for those jobs and what are the protections for those jobs and make sure that the jobs that people are getting are allowing them to basically support themselves and their families. So that's another issue. But certainly the job market seems healthy by most, you know, sort of, you know, standard measures. You know, we still have decent wage growth. So there are, you know, definitely like a lot of positive things happening in the labor market right now.
And I want to talk about inflation, which has been such a constant theme ever since the end of when the pandemic started to wind down. And then there were the huge shortages of materials that sort of drove prices soaring, things like that. There was a lot of talk at one point, I can remember, you're an economy reporter, you know this better than me, about a soft landing. Could the Federal Reserve manage a soft landing to the economy? I guess they kind of have. Is that a fair assessment? I mean, inflation is still a problem, but it has declined significantly, right?
Yes. I mean, inflation is certainly slowing down, not as fast as perhaps the Fed would like or as consistently as the Fed would like at the moment. But certainly it appears as if that has been avoided. But we won't really know for sure until the next few months because a lot of concerns about whether or not the Fed will, you know, cut rates soon enough. The Fed has indicated that they're looking at the labor market as they're determining, you know, when to cut rates. Powell has said that he's, you know, certainly looking at how the labor market is doing when he's thinking about the timing of rate cuts. So, you know, that is something that some economists are still worried about. They're still looking for cracks in the labor market, in the data every time the jobs report comes out to make sure that we're not potentially still in some danger zone.
And when we say danger, I mean going into recession, is that what
of going into? Yes, of going into a recession, of unemployment, you know, spiking, and certainly, you know, we're in a much better place than we were, but yeah, that's still a concern that a lot of economists have.
We're talking with State's Newsroom national economy reporter Casey Quinlan about sort of the state of the economy. And as we've alluded to, things are pretty good, certainly compared to how they were a few years ago in the height of the pandemic. But consumer confidence, sort of just general vibe amongst Americans, the research shows that people are still really worried, right? The numbers are consumer confidence not as high as we would might have expected.
And I think that part of that has to do with the fact that, you know, obviously, housing is a huge issue. That's a big part of this. You know, there are a lot of people who, you know, just don't know how to plan for the future right now because the rent is so high, the housing costs are so high that, you know, when people are thinking about what they're going to do in the future, save for a home, et cetera, you know, they look at the current state of things and home prices are pretty high right now. And I think looking at some of the most, you know, recent data, the CoreLogic Case-Shiller home price data from February, there was a 0.7% increase from January to February. That was almost double the monthly increase that was reported before the pandemic. Those kinds of numbers are not encouraging for a lot of people. And certainly, like, those are sort of the stickier numbers. The numbers are harder to move, economists say. And then that's kind of one of the major things that's hurting people's budgets right now, because that's such a huge part of most people's budgets.
I know one critique that's been leveled by some people is that there's been, in effect, sort of a, I don't want to say price gouging, but there's been a corporate profit factor that's been going on in the economy. There's been a lot of wealth gains at the top. Are you hearing that critique that part of what's been driving inflation, driving some of the challenges in the economy, is this effectively the folks at the top grabbing what they can right now?
Yeah, certainly that is something that I've been hearing a lot about. It is one factor among, you know, many that, you know, some companies, especially, you know, companies that, you know, are selling, you know, cereal, food products, you know, et cetera, you know, they are really sort of leaning into the opportunities that, you know, inflation has brought and increasing prices well beyond, you know, some of the, you know, sort of supply chain shocks or whatever they've been dealing with. And that there's a question of, you know, what should we do about that policy-wise, certainly. So that's something that, you know, I know the Biden administration has talked about. Shrinkflation, of course, is another issue, which is just, you know, basically changing the size of a product, continuing to charge fairly high prices for that product, using kind of deceptive packaging to make people think they're getting the same thing that they were getting before. And that's getting a lot more attention now as well, because that's something that I think companies think is perhaps easier to get by customers. That's also an issue. Yeah.
Of course, all this comes to a head in the election. We're in the midst of one of the most momentous elections in American history, at least modern American history. Are there really even articulable distinctions in the policy proposals that, say, Donald Trump is putting forth and Joe Biden is putting forth when it comes to how we're going to grapple with this? I gather Biden's saying, look how much better things were than when I took over. And Trump's, of course, saying he'll make everything okay. But can we even distinguish any specific differences? Does anybody got any really good ideas about what to do about this situation?
It's certainly a hard issue to sort of talk to voters about, because voters certainly, when they're looking at, you know, how things were under one administration versus another, sometimes, you know, your memories are kind of like, you know, difficult to recall. But what I've been hearing from some of the interviews I've been doing with voters recently is that they know that Biden is trying to do something about student debt, but is he doing enough? That's what I've been hearing a bit of, as well as just they're dealing with having to work multiple jobs to pay rent, you know, these kinds of issues. I do know that the Biden administration has been putting forth a lot of policies focusing on affordable housing recently, to, you know, make sure that, you know, there are more opportunities for people to be able to, you know, afford homes. But, you know, certainly, you know, people are, you know, very concerned about just being able to make ends meet, you know, and And with student debt payments resuming fairly recently, that's, you know, that's also, I think, something that's weighing on people financially. So, you know, whether or not the Biden administration will do more on that issue soon remains to be seen. I know that there have been some policies that they've been moving forward with to try to, you know, reduce the burden of student debt. But yeah, that's, I think, something that's very important to people right now.
Yeah. Of course, it sometimes takes two to tango or three to tango. You got to get the courts and the Congress to go along with some of these
many
things.
Barriers that, yes.
A lot of the Biden administration's efforts have been shot down. So as we're coming to the end of our time with Casey Quinlan, who's a national economy reporter for State's Newsroom, Casey, are there any kind of like key inflection points that we should look to in the months ahead? What are we now? We're 7 months from the presidential and congressional elections, but are there decisions the Fed will have to make? Are there other key moments perhaps that we should have on our radar screen?
Well, the Fed's interest rate decision is obviously going to be a big one. You know, we don't know if that's, you know, going to come at the next meeting or next one after that. And then even if it does so happen that the Fed decides to cut rates, there is a question of, you know, when will that actually hit people? When will people actually feel that in the housing market and other areas? And it may take quite a long time. So it might not even really begin to affect people in their everyday lives by the time that the election comes. So that's going to be a major issue to look forward to.
It's always something to be aware of, that the disconnect between the policy decisions and their actual impact sometimes is significant. We'll be paying real close attention. We're glad you're watching it for us in Washington. Thanks for all you do. It's been great to chat with you, and I'm sure we'll chat later again this year.
Great. Thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncnewsline.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries wherever you get your podcasts. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views, a weekly look at state news, events, and public policy debates produced by North Carolina Newsline. Visit them online at ncnewsline.com.